Linda writes, "Hey, George, I wanted to comment on your accident with a screwdriver, for I had a similar thing happen to me." Now, those of you who don't know what she's talking about, to listen into her email, you'll figure it out. "I sliced a deep cut into my leg when the utility knife I was using slipped. I immediately threw the knife down and grabbed my leg with both hands and sat there in shock for a good 10 or 15 minutes. I finally got hold of myself and decided I'd better get to the doctor, for I figured I would need stitches. It was a large, deep cut. When I finally looked down, there was no blood. And when I took my hand away, there was no sign of a cut whatsoever. I know without a doubt that I did cut my leg. It hurt. And I did see the deep cut before I grabbed my leg in shock. I don't know what to make of it." See, what happened to me is a screwdriver went right through my finger. And after I pulled it out, there was no mark. There was no hole. There was nothing. Weird. It's good to know that it happens to other people, too. In a moment, we'll be back with a spiritual psychic, Angela Moore. Lots to talk with her about right here on Coast to Coast AM. Angela Faye Moore is a respected spiritual psychic from North Carolina. She's a frequent guest on the area radio talk shows, has been featured in several regional newspapers, often speaking publicly, entertaining, amazing her audiences. She is featured frequently at Asheville's Barnes & Noble and has offered pet readings for the Buncombe County Humane Society Doggy Carnival. Her show, Metaphysical Matters, is featured on the acclaimed public radio station WNCW in Spindale, North Carolina, and is also available for podcasting as well. She's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, Angela. How are you?
Hi there. I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. You also do pet readings. What is pet readings?
Well, you know, a lot of people that have animals are often wondering, you know, what's wrong with them or what are they thinking or whatnot. So they get in touch with me and I tell them what I can feel about their pet.
Do you also tell them about their pets who might have passed on and they're in the hereafter?
Sure do. As a matter of fact, sometimes people will come to see me and I'll be talking to them, you know, just doing a session and whatnot. And I might feel a dog, for example, come through, and I can get an impression, perhaps, of a big dog that has this habit or that habit. And I'll ask them, "Do you have a dog?" And it's like this and this. And they'll say, "Well, I used to. You know, this is the dog that I had, but it passed away." And when I get that, I know, well, you know, it's still with you. It's just, you know, energetically, it's still there.
We're going to talk about animals a little bit later on, Angela. People in our audience, they love animals, and they're very close to them, so maybe you can help them out a little bit, especially if they've had any that have passed on. All of us, I have always believed, have some kind of psychic ability. Tell us about you. How did this happen for you?
Well, see, you just said what I say. You know, I tell everybody, to me, this is a human condition. This is a natural thing and way that people are. And I think it's just a matter of being attuned to vibrations, you know. Everything that exists is energy, and all energy vibrates, and I think some people are just more perceptive of those vibrations. And I think that if you look at people like primitive peoples, for example, like the Aborigines that have the dream time, I think you find that this is a natural way of being more so, and I think we've just gotten away from it, you know, as we have gotten more technologically minded. But whenever I was a little kid, you know, I knew I was this way, but I thought everyone was this way. I still do, as we just said, but it seemed to me that it took me a long time to realize that I was really different, more so, you know, than other people. I think most children, I believe, are this way. Then they kind of shut down about age 6 or 7, and I think with me, it just didn't shut down. And my whole family's like this, too.
A lot of times, too, parents, specifically with a child, will kind of shun the child, will push the child away from its psychic abilities. And I think that's a wrong thing to do.
Yeah, you know, see, that's one of the things that happened when I was little, and it's one of the things I actually mentioned in my book, because I would go and I would tell, I was living with my grandparents, and I'd go tell my grandmother, and I called her mama, but I wouldn't tell her, you know, there's someone in my room, and they're talking to me, or this or that, and she would tell me it was my imagination, and I would tell her other things I would pick up, you know, about this and that, and again, it's always my imagination, and I happen to believe that imagination is, in fact, a tool to help tap into your ability and not whatnot, but it was like, you know, I was so confused because I didn't understand. And I remember even going back to my room and telling people that I saw and felt in my room that my mama said, "You're just my imagination." I remember them being confused. It's like, what? You know? And again, I didn't understand, you know, why no one would believe me when it was perfectly obvious to me.
You sound like you use this ability for good. There are others out there, though, Angela, who don't. They use it for evil purposes. Mm-hmm. How can they have those kinds of abilities, the power to do things for evil? You know, I always thought that you could just use it only for good. Obviously not.
No, it just is what it is. You know, I think people kind of are afraid of what they don't understand, right? So they like to put rules on it and say, well, you can't do this or you can't do that. But I think it's just like anything else. You know, some people like to sing, okay? So some people may take that talent and do great operatic things, and some people may take it and just sing in a shower. But maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's just in the way you choose to use it, where your heart is. You know, I choose it for good because that I feel it's a calling for me. And it, basically, it's just about what I'm good at, so you might as well do it, you know? But some people, you know, it's like anything else. It's all about choices. It's all about, you know, what we wish to maybe experience and learn as, on this planet at this time.
Tell me about its ability to work. Is it electrical? What kind of energy is it?
That's it. That's exactly what I perceive. You know, I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, as I said, it's just a matter of energy to me, but I perceive it as electrical. Now, for example, sometimes I do healings for people, and then, you know, I just feel, it's not like I advertise that or go my way, but sometimes I feel a need to. Somebody will be around me and they'll have a problem, and, you know, I've had a pretty good track record with it too. You know, like I said, now some people, they're not going to be healed. You know, it's not meant to be, and there it is, but some people are. Thing is, you know, I feel like, here's what I say about my healing work, you know, it won't hurt.
Are you hands-on or not?
Hands-on. Okay. I don't have to be hands-on. But what I do is I basically will feel that electrical current. And I, when I was thinking about it one day, just imagining it, you know, like letting it kind of create a vision in my mind, that's the feeling that I perceive. And when I get in what I call the zone, okay, and I'm very out there, the more psychic you get, the less grounded you get. I get kind of addle-minded. It's
right.
Kind of pitiful, like, okay, but it's like, I feel this, current or this, I don't know, I'm getting in the zone now while I'm talking to you. Actually, it's getting kind of hard to stay grounded, which tells me, by the way, that you seem to have a great amount of psychic ability. You know, whenever I talk
yes,
to somebody
I
and
do.
I feel myself going into space like that, I know that I'm talking to somebody who is also out there. I think that's why, you know, it just kind of... it's easy to pick up people like that. But, yeah, I think it I don't have to touch anybody. I think if you can think a person, you can be there. If you can think it, you can do it. I don't like being confined by time and space or any kind of limitations. I just believe that I travel through thought. I believe spirits travel through thought. Maybe even otherworldly beings travel through thought.
Did you hear the email right before you came on about the woman who... cut herself,
mm-hmm.
and you know, she held her leg, and you know, lo and behold, there was no cut at all. And then I was talking about the story that happened to me where a screwdriver went through my finger, and I pulled it out, and you know, I held it and I looked at it, and it was gone. There was no hole there, there was no blood, there was nothing. I don't know what happened to me, Angela. I don't know if it healed itself. I'm telling you, the screwdriver went into my finger. Linda, the emailer, she's convinced that a knife cut her leg and drew blood. And yet there's no sign of that. There's no sign of a hole in my finger. What the heck happened?
I think you just said it yourself. It was a spontaneous healing. I have a friend that happened to, and you three are the only people now that I know for that has said that to me, a similar thing. She cut her wrist, and she laid her hand over the top of it, and it was an accident. And then when she picked it up, her hand up, it was, again, healed. And it was like, you know, oh, my gosh, here's this really bad cut. I think that there may be just simply a spontaneous healing. And I think, again, you're tapping into an energy that may be available to all of us, but we are just not able to know how to use that. And perhaps you and these folks just got lucky and got that particular channel of energy.
When I was, and everybody's going to cringe when they hear this story, when I was 25 years old, I'm producing a television newscast in Detroit. And in those days, we had these five-part snap-out pieces of paper for scripts. We'd put them in typewriters that had big print so our anchor people could read it. You know, we'd type the story, and then they'd have five different colors, and we'd break them when it was time, right before the newscast, and you distribute the script. The anchorman got one, the co-anchor got one, I got one, the director got one, and then, you know, somebody else, some other crew member, got one, the teleprompter person. So all five were gone. Well, we had also, after the show, we had these spindles that you would put the scripts down on. You know, it had like a big nail sticking out of a piece of wood, just a spindle. And I had a whole thick of a big number of scripts, and I rammed it down on the spindle, and I missed.
Oh, no.
And Angela, this thing went right through my hand. It went between my two fingers, the small finger and the next one, and it went right through it, and it was sticking out the other end. My hand was down there on the spindle where the papers should be. And I didn't even realize I had done that. My director, my old buddy Monty Salisbury, who's dead now, God rest his soul, looks at me, sees my hand on the spindle, and he's gagging. You know, he's going, oh, my God. I look down, and there is my hand on the spindle and the nail sticking right out of my hand. Well, I pulled it out, same thing. No blood, no hole right after I pulled it out. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely incredible.
That is. That makes me hurt all over to even hear about it. So have you been abducted by aliens or something?
No, I don't think so.
Because I'm telling you why I'm saying this. Whenever you're talking, and as I said, your energy is very, I don't know, spongy, you might say, and I keep feeling, and don't ask me
why. Is spongy good?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it can be. Spongy can be. Spongy can also be not so good sometimes.
I've never heard a woman call me spongy before.
Well, there's always the first time.
Well, there it goes for me.
But spongy means that you absorb other people, too. So that could be bad, because if you're around, like, people that are real negative or this or that, you could end up, like, feeling stuff that they feel. But it could be good, because it could help you be empathic. But the reason I'm saying that about this alien stuff, now, you'll have to overlook me, but, hey, it's late at night, and I'm sleepy, so I'm just talking, all right?
All right. Hey, you got to stay awake for 3 hours.
Yeah, don't even tell me. I don't even want to know about that.
All right.
I'm just not looking at the time, okay? But anyway, because you got to remember, I'm 3 hours behind you out here.
Oh, okay? What we all have our crosses to bear, Angela.
Yes, we do. And I have to complain about it, but no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the reason I'm saying that is you've got that kind of energy that you often feel with people that have had that kind of experience. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that people who have had close encounters actually sometimes experience that particular type of healing, just so you know.
Interesting. See, I don't recall ever seeing a UFO, ever. I'd love to see one. But you never know, and I've had a past guest on before, Dr. Richard Boylan, and he is convinced I'm a star child, believe
it. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that I know this, but I feel like if you were my client and you and me were just sitting in there in my little office and talking, I'd be saying, so tell me about the aliens. And I'm serious, because the more I get into you, the more I'm just getting that impression. And by the way, I usually don't go off the deep end so quickly with anybody. It's like a warm-up to it, you know, take a little time to get
right
there. But I don't know. You just got that feel. You know, when I was a little kid, oddly enough, too, I used to draw all these little, you know, hey, draw those little five-pointy star thingies, and I would make them be little people. I would doodle those all the time, and it was like I would really get into it and just draw this whole little bunch of little men. And it finally took me when I grew up, I'm drawing star men. What is that about? And
weird. I would do the same thing. I would make stick figures and little stars and also pyramids.
Oh, yeah, and pyramids. whenever I was a little bit older, I got had this thing about pyramids too. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe there's something there, and maybe with a lot of people that are listening too, that maybe, you know, are listening just so they can hear this conversation, maybe something in them's gonna be awakened, and they can say, you know, wait a minute, maybe I'm from Earth, and maybe not. You know?
Is it dangerous? Is it frustrating to possess this kind of ability?
You know, you ask a good question there when you said, is it dangerous? And I tell you what, I think that it can be if you're not protected from picking up stray energies and maybe from otherworldly beings or whatever. You're just overly sensitive. I mean, you know, like I said, I try to help people be aware of their intuition by giving them tools to help them do that, because I do think, like I said, you're just enhancing something that's natural, right? But you know, you can pick up stuff that you don't belong in. I can tell you, you know, if you've got time briefly, I'll tell you a little thing that happened to me.
Briefly? We have 3 hours,
okay,
Angela.
Okay, then I'll stretch it out. Don't worry, honey. I got lots of stories I can tell you, but anyway.
Oh, that's right. I never worry.
Anyway, and I got a feeling you got a lot of stories you can tell me, too. So anyway, I tell you what happened. I was sitting in my house minding my own business, as I frequently do, and all of a sudden, I started getting just the awfulest fear. I mean, I've never really felt anything like it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was just horrified. It was shaking, you know. But it was more than I was getting impressions. I felt like, you know, they're going to kill me. I mean, I was actually saying, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. Now, you know, I can't believe anybody's going to be mad enough at me to kill me. But that's how it felt. It felt me. And I even felt 2 people. And I'm thinking, you know, what are they going to do? And it was just this awful, awful sensation. It was so intense, I finally called somebody just to, you know, talk to somebody. And I said, you know, I told her everything I was feeling, and she wrote it down in her diary. Well, it turns out that a neighbor of mine, a man that lived like right catty-corner to my house, was abducted that night from his home.
Oh,
he was taken somewhere, kept alive all night, but he was, in fact, murdered. And 2 men were arrested for that. And I feel like I'm just, you know, here picking up. You know, I wasn't friends with that man or anything like that, but I picked up that energy. And my friend actually wrote it down in her diary the day I called. So we looked back, and sure enough, that was exactly, you know, when it happened.
Do you help police departments at all?
I have. I sure have. Actually, I'm working with somebody right now in a neighboring county to try to find a missing man, which I'm really getting frustrated with. We know where he is. We just can't find him. And it's like, I went out there. She actually came and got me. And we went out there. We know he's up burning woods. And I actually saw his spirit, and I could see through it. Okay?
So he's dead?
Oh, yeah. Went up there, and it's like he's pointing where he is, right? And I get up there, and we can't find him. And it's where everybody has agreed that he is. So, you know, and I got so many things right that we feel that what I'm getting is pretty accurate, right? So we go up there, and we can't find him. Then I got a really strong impression of him in my mind, and he's not wanting to be found. It's like I think that this man is not really accepting that he's not here, and he's trying to go home.
Yeah.
Now, where he is, there's no such thing as time, so it's like all right now. But it was a very strong impression, again, that, you know, he doesn't want to be found. He does and he doesn't. You know, he does. He wants to go home. And that was that. But oddly enough, his wife had called the police right after that. She didn't even know I was up there now, didn't know a thing about it, saying that she had had a vivid dream that he was with her in a room, and he would not believe he was dead. And she was showing him newspaper clippings and this and that. And he just didn't want to hear it. But I thought that was interesting that she would have that dream right after that happened.
Do you remote view at all, or do you believe that you're just all psychically inclined?
No, I think remote viewing is a part of it. I don't really, you know, say it's like this or that. I think that is part of it, and often I do that. I don't really label it as such, but that would be, you know, yeah.
Well, you know, throughout the night, I'd like you to give some, I guess, some exercises or some advice to people on how they can tune themselves up, how they can become a little more sensitive to their psychic abilities. I also call it your intuitive abilities, you know, your ability to perceive things, because I think if you have a good intuition, it can help you out on your day-to-day life, can it?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point, you know. And like, if you're going to be a detective, speaking of law enforcement, you know, a detective has got a good gut feeling, or a reporter, you know, which story should they chase? You know, everybody can use this, you know, which would be the quickest or safest way home? You know, and how many times, too, have you ever said, oh, man, I'm so glad I didn't listen to my little voice in my head, you know? It's never like that. It's always, I should have listened to myself, you know? And I think we just have to to learn how to pay attention. And it's hard. You know, we get so busy in our mind and whatnot, it's hard.
All right, stay with us, Angela. We're going to take this quick break. Angela's website is angela-moore.com. Linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back with some incredible stories on Coast to Coast AM. After Dark newsletter, I'm looking at the latest one. The September issue is now out. It's a dandy. It's about staying healthy. Interview with our buddy George Knapp from Las Vegas. And yeah, read all about it. You get 14 issues for the price of 12. Call 1-888-727-5505 for that or go online at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking with our guest tonight, Angela Moore, the psychic. Lots to talk about. Next hour, we're going to talk about pets and, well, ways that you might be able to communicate with your dearly departed pet that has passed on. Reading some of these fast blasts and messages and in notes, and also the folks from the NighthawkZone.com, Congo Red Jr., that's his avatar, tells an incredible story. We talk about healing. When he was in Afghanistan, he got hit by shrapnel and hit his leg. It was a shrapnel injury, blood all over his pants. He felt it tear into his knee and his thigh. He had trouble walking. But you know what? When it was all done, he checked out. Nothing. He was fine. No blood. And everybody just freaked out. They called him the Miracle Man. No Purple Heart for you. Isn't that an incredible story? I mean, I think when we open up the phone lines in a couple hours, we'll also take some of the calls from you about some of those kinds of episodes where, you know, you were in a car accident and you knew something serious had happened to you and you just walked out without even a scratch. We'll be back with Angela Moore in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And you're listening to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Angela Moore, the psychic. Angela, let's talk a little bit about time travel. We'll get into some dreams as well. Give us some examples of psychic time travel.
Well, I think it's like this. If you can think of a place, you can be there. Okay, and I think, again, we travel by thought. I think it's like this, George. When do you mind if I call you George?
Well, what else are you going to call me?
Well, I didn't know if you want to be Mr. Norrie. But
Mr. Norrie would be fine.
Okay, all righty.
No, I'm kidding.
All righty, whoever you are. Okay, it's like this. Think of time, the way I explain it to myself, okay? I think of time as a movie. See, if you're holding a movie in your hands, a reel, okay? And this reel has everything that's in the movie, right? All the pictures that
sure.
Make it up, okay? But I think that's how time is. It's like all here in this one thing. And for it to make sense to us, maybe we need to see it like in, you know, frame after frame after frame. But really, you can maybe hop around within this movie, and I think that's how it is with time. I think perhaps we can hop around. But then I think, well, you know, I don't think that everything is destined. I think there's some things that are destined, some are free will. So maybe there are alternate realities, perhaps alternate time frames that maybe, for example, with you in your hand, maybe when you hurt your hand, maybe in one reality there was still a wound. Maybe there was another reality where you weren't meant to be hurt, therefore the wound was healed. I mean, it's just an idea. But I'll give you an example that happened to me.
All right, yeah.
Okay, when I was a little kid, I was living in the house I was telling you about with my grandparents, and I was standing at the bedroom door looking at the kitchen, and I saw a woman, and this was 3D, okay? It wasn't like in my mind's eye, because you see things differently, you know? But anyway, I was seeing it 3D, and I saw this woman there, and I knew she was about 30-something, and I knew that it was her house, and I saw what she was wearing, and I saw her, you know, hair and everything, and I had this feeling like, That's me in this house. It's my house. And I kind of knew that. Well, anyway, forgot about it, whatnot, and time goes on. And eventually, oddly enough, I bought that house. And it's something I didn't want to do. I mean, I actually let it sit there for sale for a couple of years. But then I finally decided I need to buy it, and I did. And I moved in. One day, I'm standing there at the stove, and I'm, you know, minding my business like you do. And I felt. You can feel somebody look at you. I felt. I was boring a hole in the back of my head. And it's like at that point, I remembered everything that happened that day. I remembered that being that child. And I didn't even turn around. I was almost afraid to, I think. And I just thought, you know, and I said though, in my mind, and I think I actually kind of said it out loud, but very low, you know, I know you're there. I feel you. I know. And I think I was actually at that time in two different places at once. I honestly believe I was seeing ahead the person that I would become, and then at that time in the future, I was feeling the child that I once was. And again, this wasn't like a memory. It was real. You know what I'm saying?
If you think that time travel, whether it's psychic or not, is possible, mm-hmm. do you think that people from the year 2100 or 2500 may be coming back now, and they're here, they're in this environment? I mean, sometimes we open up the phones, Angela, for time travelers, and sometimes we get some pretty wild phone calls. But every once in a while, you'll get that one or that mm-hmm. two from someone, and you're just not sure. You think maybe it's possible. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely possible. I actually think about it a lot. I always have. I wonder sometimes, you know, if even some of the sightings of UFOs and stuff like that from ancient men, perhaps, have been actually just seeing their descendants coming back. So, I think it's absolutely possible. And then you have to wonder, though, what about the timeline? What if they do come back and from time, and then they cause something to happen that, you know, rearranges the whole course of humanity, which then makes maybe them not even exist anymore because of something that they created when here, you know. I think it really can get really complicated. So I think it's a possibility. I think it's likely. I honestly believe that interdimensional travel, including time travel, is in fact likely, and I think that it isn't supposed to be hard. I don't think it's going to require like certain machinery and certain things like that. I think it's going to be about an understanding of dimensions and making a decision to step through a void, through a portal, into whatever realm, whatever reality that you wish to step into. I think it can be, I don't think that it's supposed to be hard. I think there's just maybe a key, a certain way of understanding that can create that probability.
I think that's very possible, too. As a matter of fact, in my work in a book that's coming out next week with my co-author, Bill Burns, we talk a lot about time travel, and it's exactly how you have spelled it out. You don't need machines. There's a dimensional way that people can travel once they figure it out.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're getting close to. And that's something I think we can expect to see. It's like things will be speeding up, the knowledge that we're gaining and whatnot. It's going to be faster and faster. I don't know that we can actually absorb everything maybe that is going to be there for us to learn. You know, I think that people like to be safe, and I think that sometimes there are things that could be learned, could be at hand, but it's so different. We just don't want to know about it.
Tell me about dreams. Do you believe that people have the ability to do incredible things in their dream state?
Oh, Lordy, honey, I think that's a whole nother realm. I do. I think that you can work in your dreams with your guides. I fully believe that we're out of our bodies cavorting with spirits. Maybe we retain the essence of what we get from that, and we forget the conscious knowledge of it for most part. I think that we're out doing all kinds of things and maybe even have another lives. And then I think, as I said, when we come back to ourselves, we have to give up maybe the consciousness of it so that we can continue to do the work we're here to do, which is being, you know, you, or in my case, being me. And I'll tell you a little story about this. I was in my bed at this one place that was just really a haunted place. We moved around a lot, I'm telling you, because I kept, you know, thinking, you know, every place I move into is haunted or something wrong with it. It took me a long time. I'm kind of slow to realize maybe it's me, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm stirring things up. But we were living in an old hospital, which, you know, golly, but it's probably like the worst place for a psychic to be. But anyway, there's portals up in there, you know, from people passing and being born. But anyway, back to the point. I was lying in my bed, and I wake up. Now, I'm feeling very, very comfortable, and I'm feeling like from my hips down, everything feels normal. Actually, felt very heavy, okay? But then from my hips up, I feel like I'm floating at about a 45-degree angle, all right? and it felt good. I mean, I felt like I'm just floating, and it was very pleasurable. I didn't want to move, and I was just kind of noticing how strange it felt, but it didn't seem like, you know, this is abnormal. It just felt like, this is interesting. I think I'll just float here. How neat this feels. And then I glance over, and I see my son. At this time, he was about 7 years old, and he used to carry this sheet, a full-size sheet, everywhere he went, okay? And he goes trotting down the hall, and he was a sleepwalker, but it didn't strike me that, oh, there goes Dusty, go get him. It just looked like, well, there he goes, and that was it. And then eventually I fell back to sleep. Forgot about the next morning until my son comes and tells me. He says, you know, Mom, he says, I had the strangest dream. He said, I dreamed I was walking down the hall, but my feet wouldn't touch the floor. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I believe I was out of my body. I believe I was in between states, and I think I just saw him doing the same thing, which was obviously roaming around the house in spirit, or in a dream state. Still had the sheet, I don't know, but, you know, maybe whatever. But, you know, that happened, and I think that I really believe we were out. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you how many people, they wake up and they have somebody that maybe they've lost, you know, mm-hmm. has moved on, and they'll wake up and they feel that person, or they just know they're there. And when you're in that half awake, half asleep state, you know, when you first wake up, that's when you're psychically powerful too. And that's when I tell people to work with them, you know, to tell yourself things you need to do, or to enhance your ability to suggest to yourself at that time, you know, what you need to do.
These guides that may be in your dream state, mm-hmm. Do you summon them up, or do they come in on their own?
I think they're assigned to you before you probably ever came to this planet. I believe that they're probably having a soul agreement with you to further your purpose and theirs by working in this way. And you can tell yourself, like I said, when you're next have awake state, you know, that maybe you'd like to know more about them. Now, in my case, for example, when I have certain dreams, and usually it's the early morning dreams, as you probably already know, that are the most important. And you can keep a dream journal, you know, a real-time journal and a dream journal to kind of help you sort out, you know, which ones are, you know, anxiety and this and that, which ones happen and this happens. You know, you can. Everybody's different. Everybody's different, and you've got to interpret them in your own way and, you know, through trial and error, whatnot. But anyway, whenever I have my special dreams, when it's usually something going to happen, there is someone behind me. I always sense that she's a woman, and I don't know her. I don't think it's a spirit. I think it's a higher-level being, like perhaps an angel-type being. But she literally interprets as I dream. She tells me, you know, what I need to know. And I think that, you know, we can do that by just simply saying, you know, I'd like to have some help. And I think it's like this, George, anything you want, I believe, if you put out that energy, that prayer that says, you know, show me what I need, and this is, you know, what I feel like I need to experience this or that, I believe you'll get it. Most of the time, I believe you will get what you ask for.
Have you ever been frightened because of these abilities that you have?
Oh, Lordy. I live in fear for a long time. I'm better now. And what I live in fear of is just like, it's not like I'm thinking something's going to jump out and get me. Okay, I actually had that one too for a long time, I guess. But it's, when you're like this, you're sensitive, you know, and you experience things very deeply, more than the average person. So it makes you more sensitive to maybe all the emotions, you know. And I think psychics in general tend to be very emotional people. And so I think we experience things just a lot. We take life a lot harder, you know, I believe. And so, yeah, I was afraid, like, you know, I was doing a paranormal investigation, something I will do, but I'm not overly fond of. And I'll do it, though, if I feel like somebody really needs me to, or not, if there's a spirit that's there and needs help. You know, we're just spirits. We're just in a body, you know. So, of course, naturally I'm going to help. But they got some stuff out there. It's mischievous. It's not necessarily something that really needs or wants your help. It might be something that would just like to antagonize your play with your whatnot, you know. And, you know, sometimes it does. It's like I sense it and I feel it, and it's not a comfortable thing.
Well, is it possible, though, that whatever these spirits are, the evil ones now, that you have an ability to fight them off, or is it possible that they're going to overtake you, possess you?
I am like so not worried about that. First of all, I mean, it's not that I'm worried about them overtaking me. I don't even refer to them as evil because I think that empowers the fear. So I don't like to even use that terminology because if I use that might make me be afraid and more afraid, which, like I said, I'm overcoming a lot of that. But no, I think you have to open a door to let stuff like that happen. I think you have to have an intention. And I think that you have to not really have, maybe your heart in the right place. And I believe that I am fully protected by my angels or whatnot, and I don't open the door for that. Like I said, that's why I tell people, if you want to learn this kind of stuff, which again I think it's a natural thing, you're only enhancing, but you got to be careful, because you go to making a high dive in the spirit realm, it's like exercise. If you go doing too many sit-ups or whatnot, you're going to be awful sore, and you might sprain something. You got to be careful and use your common sense. It is about balance.
What do you tell the skeptics, Angela? What do you tell the people out there that say this isn't real, it doesn't happen?
Well, I don't tell them a thing. That hey, this is America. Last time I checked, and at least for now, and you can believe what you want. I don't try to tell anybody anything. I feel like I just do my thing. They can do theirs. Whatever. Because I'm gonna tell you the truth. I have so many psychic moments that it actually freaks me out sometimes. And then there's sometimes you can ask me something about a certain thing, and maybe I can tell you, maybe I can't. You never know. But, I'm not the fount of all knowledge. But on a good day, when I'm on a roll and I'm, wow, look what I did. At the end of the day, I'll think, man, this is crap. I do it myself, and I do this. I'm this way, and I do it. It's like I don't even believe it, But yet I think we're going to find more and more and more people are going to be becoming more and more aware, and this new generation being born, you mark my words, they're going to be more and more attuned to metaphysical matters, paranormal matters, et cetera. It's the way it's going to be.
Look, we're not even taking calls for at least another hour, and already my lines are all lit up from people who are, asking the simple question about whether they cut themselves and then they healed, and also people who believe that they're intuitive, and it's happening all the time. A lot of people, though, Angela, don't read their intuitiveness. They don't understand it, so they don't act on it, and consequently, it backfires on them.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do about that? How do they know? How do they pick up those signs?
I guess you just have to learn through trial and error. Whenever you have a hunch or a feeling and you do or do not act on it and you see the outcome, then you have to learn from that. Even with me, Miss Psychic over here, it makes me so angry. I'm driving home the other day, and I had my dogs, and I'm surprised my dogs are actually being quiet and being asleep like nice little doggies, because I'm overrun with them. And I had them on the truck, okay, and I'm coming home. And I told myself, go the back way, But did I listen? No, I didn't. So, and the dogs were being perfectly good. But anyway, I'm going the other way back home, and I got distracted by my own thoughts, basically, and I went over and I hit a car. Now, it wasn't nothing but a little paint exchange. Wasn't no big deal. Little old man, though, that I hit, Lord, he got out of that car, and he called me just about everything in this world. But, he kept saying, it's because them dogs in there. That's why he did this and all this, and it wasn't the dogs. The point of this story is, however, is that I should have listened. And here I got on my tag, by the way. My tag says psychic. It was a whim. I decided to get
go
it.
Go so figure, like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but the thing is, I knew I was going to do it, but yet, I did it anyway. And I get so aggravated when I tell my clients, don't do this if I were you. I don't tell people what to do. I do not make decisions for other people. I merely offer suggestions. You got your own free will and your own path, and you got to learn your own lessons your own way. But still, but that's how it goes, and I think now I'll learn. I will be more careful next time I got a hunch. Let me tell you, I'm going to be more careful.
Can people email you through your website?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if they have other questions, they can get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And they can get to me. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Do you believe that the planet, because it's changing, I really believe it's changing physically.
Yes, it is.
Earth changing. Does that affect people's psychic ability?
Yes, I believe it does. And thank you for asking such a good question. I do believe it does. And I tell you what, I believe that sometimes that we draw our energy from the earth too. And it's like this weird feeling I had about, I'm going to tell you, it's about Florida, okay? It was a while back. And I was just thinking about if Florida were a person, okay? It felt like she were lying down and that she was getting weaker, like she was getting sicker. And that as this woman that I'm envisioning, who is, as I said, embodying the spirit of Florida, gets weaker, it's like she pulls her energy in. And as she does that, the people that are grounded on her, who are walking on her, become less, grounded, and they are like losing maybe something that they need to help them sustain that intuitiveness.
Angela, do you make predictions as well?
When they hit me, I do.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a few when we come back at the top of the hour to see if there are any that you've had or some that, you know, you may want to tell us about. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with our guest, Angela Moore, on Coast to Coast AM.